This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Thursday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And here we are. All right, it is February 12th. We're about halfway through the month, end of our busy broadcasting week. We made it.
God, it's hard to believe that Valentine's Day on Saturday means we are halfway through February already.
Yeah, I know. Make it stop. All right, we're going to jump right in. We got a great show planned today. Starting us off today is Phil Kirpin, president of American Commitment, going to talk to us today about what, Hunter, both you and I were like, what is this thing? We were like, not so fast on this. The president's plan to cap credit card interest rate at an annual rate of 10%. Phil has a great article on this, Stop the Reckless War on Credit Cards. Phil Kirpin, welcome to the show. It's great to have you. I'm very curious to get your perspective on this.
Hey, guys, my pleasure as always. It's a little wild. I mean, he apparently called Elizabeth Warren and asked her if she had any good ideas, and she said, oh, you should do this Bernie Sanders AOC bill on credit cards. And the president said, oh, yeah, well, great idea. And then he, he put out this statement, and it's interesting, though. He said they need to do this by January 20th or else. And as you were just noting, that date came and went a few weeks ago, and he didn't actually do anything. So this may have been just talk, but it's a very bad policy idea. And, you know, when AOC and Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren talk about imposing rate caps, price controls on the interest that credit cards can charge, they, I think, fully understand that they might destroy the viability of that as a private business. But they don't care. In fact, I think they were asked when they originally introduced the bill, a few years ago. It was 15 back then. The president did them one better, so they immediately switched to 10 after he said that on the campaign trail. He mentioned it once or twice, and then sort of we didn't hear anything until this a few weeks ago. But when they introduced that bill originally, they said if they can't make this business work with this rate cap, then we'll have to replace consumer lending. We'll do it through the government. The post offices will all become banks. You'll get your loans from there, and it'll be great, no problem. And I see why liberals are okay with destroying the economics of consumer lending in the private sector, but how does somebody like Trump not know better? And you look at the cost structure of these credit cards. And, you know, banks, their cost of capital is about 4%. Their labor cost, their administrative overhead is another 4 or 5%. And then their write-off, their bad debts, their uncollectibles, those are typically about 5%. And so if they can't charge more than 15% or so as an annual interest rate, they can't make the business work. And so you're talking about a 10% cap, they would be losing money unless they dramatically restrict who is eligible for credit cards. And the industry consensus seems to be with a 10% rate cap, you'd need about a 740 credit score to be able to get a credit score and to get a credit card. Everyone under that would have their cards canceled. That's like 80% of Americans. And so this would be a massive contraction in the availability of credit, which means you're going to leave most Americans without an option if they don't have enough money to pay for necessities or desires or anything else until the next payday. And, that would, I think, if we impose that, probably crash consumer spending, probably tip us into recession. So, and leave a lot of people, more to the point, even if you were able to manage a transition in some sort of a orderly way to most people no longer having access to credit, you know, what happens when there's some unexpected expense? What happens when you don't have the money for something that you need? And what are your options? A lot of places have already banned payday loans. You get rid of credit cards. I mean, well, what's left, really? Instead of floating a check and hoping they don't cash it before payday, like the bad old days, which is very risky, of course, or, I don't know, going to a loan shark. And so I think this is a very bad idea. Bernie Sanders, though, he loves it. The president said do it for 1 year. So Bernie reintroduced his bill yesterday. Now he wants to do it for 6 years. So I don't see how you can do socialism, but do it, for a shorter time period or do it less and think that you can win against, people who are willing to go whole hog. as the alternative. So I think this is, I'm generally a pretty good, pretty big fan of this president, but I think this was a pretty big misstep on this one.
Yeah, when I first saw this, the first thing that popped in my mind was, I believe it was during the Obama years when they capped payday loan rates, which literally killed almost the payday loan. I've never recommend doing payday loans, but they're definitely a portion of the society that relied on them. And that pretty much ended payday loans almost immediately.
There were some federal attacks on the payday guys under Obama. The biggest thing with that, though, has been a lot of states have basically banned payday. And it's interesting. What they did is they did interest rate caps. And in most states, what they did is they said, well, let's put an interest rate cap of like 30% on payday loans. But, it's the same trick as what the president's talking about with credit cards, because they said, but it's going to be 30% on an annualized basis. Well, if you're doing a $100 loan, the standard in the industry for a two-week $100 loan was a $15 fee. Well, you annualize that over a year, and it's like 1,000% or something. So that was banned. And, the idea that short-term loans should be priced on an annual basis and then capped is very deceptive. And there's a similar thing with credit cards, too, because if you've got, if you've got a 24% annual percentage rate on a credit card, the only way you pay 24% is if you carry that balance for a whole year, right?
Yeah.
If you carry that balance for, 1 month, you pay zero because, you can pay before the grace period's up. If you carry it for 2 months, you're going to pay, 2%, basically the rate divided by 12, which becomes the monthly rate. And so, that's why these numbers tend to be so large, because these are not generally things that you want to do for a whole year. And so annualizing the percentage rate can be very deceptive. But you're right, in many states now, the payday industry has been completely outlawed. Not everywhere, but in many states. And so, you start wondering, okay, if they kill credit cards for everyone with a credit score under 740, which is like 80% of people, it's easy to say, well, save up and make sure you have money in the bank for everything you need and want. Well, life doesn't always work that way. And then what options are people going to have if you kill their access to credit cards and you kill their access to payday? And then, what's left? I said, other than floating a bad check and, hoping that it doesn't get cashed until payday or going to a loan shark. I don't know what's left in a lot of places if you get rid of credit cards.
The one I see is, most banks now give you like a $500 overdraft limit, but you're paying $30 or more every time you, go overdraft. So it's like now the banks are going to be cashing in on people that are living paycheck to paycheck and kind of got to, fingers crossed the money hits the bank before this payment comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're only going to have worse options. The thing about credit card markets, the way they've developed, is there are actually a lot of really good deals out there if you have the time and the patience to shop for them. You can get all kinds of different cash back and points and rewards and all of that. And, we know why, right? Because they're hoping that someday you're going to have to carry a big balance and pay lots of interest, and that makes it worth it for them. But, if you don't, you can actually do really well. You can actually come out pretty far ahead in the way the credit cards are developed now. So I really don't like the idea of regulating it. I think it's a mistake. You look at what happened. They didn't regulate interest rates on debit because there is no interest in debit, but they regulated the transaction fees with debit, the swipe fees that merchants get charged during Dodd-Frank. Mm-hmm. They put caps on those. And basically, debit rewards programs disappeared. They don't exist anymore. They used to exist, but you put price controls on, rewards programs go away. And a lot of banks got rid of free checking because the way they were paying for it was with it. So there are no free lunches. And if you start saying, people don't like paying this, so we're gonna cap it, we're going to regulate it, well, that always has adverse consequences. And when it comes to financial products, the adverse consequences always hit hardest on the people who can least afford it, the people who do have bad credit, who, maybe have lower incomes, who don't, those are the people who are going to lose access and lose options. And so I, as I said, I think this is not I think that Trump sort of fell for one here when, it's kind of sad that Pocahontas, of all people, seems to have put one over on him. But this is not an idea that he should support, in my judgment.
Well, and hopefully it's not really going to go anywhere, but you mentioned that Bernie brought his back. This is, again, it strikes me as, you know, we're helping people to death. I mean, where's the problem here? Yes, people are always going to be irresponsible with credit, but I think most people, I know I have credit. I have to tell you anecdotally with the rewards programs, my elderly mother is, with her rewards on her credit card, paying for airfare from all of my sisters to go on a vacation. So that's like, that's managing it. All of our tickets were $11 a piece. Because my mom uses credit responsibly.
Here's the thing that's so crazy. The airlines, almost basically all the airlines, there might be one or two that's an exception, but basically all the airlines now make more money from their partnerships with the credit cards and selling their, you know, their miles programs than they do from flying airplanes. That's like the main business that they're in now somehow. I mean, it's an amazing thing if you're able to do it. You know, if you're able to manage it in a way where you're not paying interest and you've got one of these rewards cards, you can come out way ahead on it.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to the Cape this summer. I'm going to visit Cape Cod. So, and you know, that's it. And a lot of people are, you know, very careful with it. And you know, you wonder, something will fill the vacuum if this goes away. And like you said, is it floating bad checks? Is it, you know, cousin Sonny, I got a deal for you here. And I don't, you don't know, something's going to fill the vacuum. And I know when this first started, the knee jerk from so many sort of on the right was, well, it must be good because Trump came up with it. It's like, no, not always.
Well, that's what makes me worried. I mean, look, this is something that the left will always support, and they never met a government price control or regulation or program that they didn't like. And yeah, as I said, they're fine. They're fine with killing the economics of consumer lending in the private sector. They're going to replace it tomorrow with a government program.
Yep.
And they're happy. So, but I think we need to be a little bit smarter than that. And but you know, the other half of this is I do think that the interest rate cap is probably unlikely, but I think there's a much more immediate risk that they adopt some kind of a price control on the transaction fees, on the swipe fees, onto credit like they did on debit, even though I think the consequences of that have all been negative. Because all the retailers want that. They don't like paying the 2 or 3% that they pay. They would much rather have government set a lower rate for that. But I mean, if you do that, the rewards programs go away. There's no free lunch. And so I really think Congress should leave this. You know, credit cards are something that work pretty well. They should leave it alone. It's very competitive. But you know, once the president gets involved, he sort of opened the Overton window, if you will, of what's even under consideration to this radical idea with the 10% cap. I do think that it does risk getting some sort of price regulation, probably more likely on the transaction fee than on the interest rate. But that's why I deal with both these issues in the article that you mentioned that ran in Washington Examiner, because I think either of them would be pretty destructive for most people.
Yeah, it's a good article. And you break it down and kind of like the downstream effects of all of this, which are important, because a lot of people will just stop at, well, that sounds good. Putting a cap on it sounds good on the surface until you scratch a micromillimeter beneath it. So again, that's at AmericanCommitment.com, correct? That's the web. Or it's also at Washington Examiner.
But if you type .com, it forwards you over. So either one works.
Okay. Again, that was Stop the Reckless War on Credit Cards. Phil Kirpin, president of American Commitment. As always, Phil, thank you so much for sharing your insights on this. Good stuff.
Thanks, Denise. Have a good one.
Okay, we'll take care. All right, we're going to go ahead and take our first break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by the Perlin Mill and Bi-Mart.
All right, everybody. Always good to talk to Phil. I know he's digging himself out. He lives in New York City. So before we went on the air, he was talking, I'm a responsible guy over there. I kind of shoveled my own stuff before it all hit. Because my understanding, I'm seeing where they're having to use jackhammers to get out of this crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He even admitted that it was bad enough and he was on top of it. Yeah. He had to go down and buy it to Home Depot or whatever, you know, a chisel to help get some of the ice up. So,
yeah.
I don't envy them.
And it's that grody, dirty city ice. It is nasty stuff. It has an odor and it's just gross. So anyway, always good to talk to Phil.
You know, if you can preserve some of it, you know, maybe in a decade or two, they'll find some, you know, amoebas in there that...
signs
previously
of life.
undiscovered.
Now all they're finding is dog pee and poop on it all over the place, and who knows what else. So, all right, so welcome back. It was great to talk to Phil. We went a little long on that, so we're now in our short session.
That's right.
Got a little short session before the break. This short session won't pick your pocket or take away your rights, though.
That's right. I think our short sessions are a whole lot more constructive than the ones down at the. Underneath the gold man on the tower. So.
Dare I say downright enjoyable. All right. Well, we got to talk today. Like you said, today is the 12th. It is National Hug Day. You know, there are some weeks when a hug is very needed.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I guess it makes sense that it's 2 days before Valentine's Day, because sometime a hug can lead to having a Valentine, you know?
Well, it also can lead to, this is National Freedom to Marry Day. And now that's interesting, because I know where that stems from. So
that's the PC way of saying it, right? The PC way.
Right.
It's also National Lost Penny Day. What's a penny? Maybe they're worth finding right now. They're worth more than a cent if you really break it down.
Well, they cost more than a penny to make, which is why I think they have gone away. It's also National Plum Pudding Day, which I would have thought would have been more around Christmas, but okay. So there you go. Lots to celebrate today. get a hug, have some plum pudding. And if you see a penny, pick it up all day long, you'll have good luck.
Yeah. Well,
so what's going to happen? All the good luck is going to go away if we don't make pennies.
So when I was younger, I had this little, it was like a charm you would hang on a necklace, and it was a penny with a little frame around it, and the frame said, "If you keep me, you will never go broke." Logic. Keep that penny, you'd never actually be broke.
Well, I remember all the old idiom, I guess, a penny saved is a penny earned. And this is interesting too. Lots happened on this day in history. Sadly, in 1554, Queen of England, for just 9 days, Lady Jane Grey lost her head. She was beheaded. I don't know the backstory on that. I'm sure it was not pleasant there.
Oh, my gosh. In 1733, James Oglethorpe establishes Georgia on the site of Savannah.
Every time I see that, did you watch The Office?
Yes.
There's been a murder in Savannah, because, what's his face always wanted it? Michael always wanted to play that game. 1795, the first state university opens the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
All right. In 1879, the first artificial ice rink opened in New York City at Madison Square Garden, which, of course, now brings me to thinking about, something funny I saw the other day. As Portland is rallying anti, get rid of ice, they're now a group up there that's Save Our Ice Rink, because they're tearing down the Lloyd Center, and now there's a group trying to get together to preserve the ice rink in Lloyd Center no matter what happens.
Can you imagine the clashes on the street?
Oh,
Save Our Ice, because the people that don't know what ICE stands for, that are out there so vociferously wanting to defund it and strip them of and take them away and remove them from the city, what are they going to do?
They know what ice is. They freeze those water bottles and turn them into ice before they throw them. Come on.
That's interesting. And of course, we all know the story about Woolman Rink in Central Park, that Trump, when he was there, the city couldn't get it together to fix Woolman Rink, which is not a big rink in the park. Phil could probably attest to that. And Trump got it done in record time, under budget. So anyway.
Weird how that happens.
1908, the NYC to Paris auto race started. It took 88 days through Alaska and Siberia. On this day in February, that's brutal.
Well, it had to be, because there was virtually a land bridge that occurs at certain times of the year between Alaska and Siberia. Yeah, I can't imagine trying to drive, especially in 1908.
You would have had woolies, big, thick woolies on.
Well, and it's an auto race. So, well were there studded tires back then? I don't know. In 1909, the NAACP is formed. Aren't they long overdue for rebranding?
I think so. If you break down that acronym, I think so. In 1924, Rhapsody in Blue is performed in public for the first time. Lovely. I've got it now in my head. It's now an earworm.
All right. In 1950, Albert Einstein warns about the hydrogen bomb. Trust the science.
1973, begins releasing American POWs. This was part of the Paris peace deal. This is interesting because Jane Fonda's popping back up in the news again. And I'm reading, all the Hanoi Jane. A lot of people have never forgiven her for that.
All right. In 1974, Patty Hearst kidnappers asked for $230 million in food for the poor. And I'm always sitting there going, yeah, 1974, $230 million was a large chunk of change. It's always funny going back and watching like old TV where the villain is asking for $1 million to rule the world. And I'm just sitting here going, $1 million now is so different than in the, like the 70s or the 80s.
No kidding. 1980, the Lake Placid Olympics. This, of course, the miracle on ice. I love, okay, the U.S. hockey team beat the Russians. It was that amazing game. Of course, there's a great movie with what's his name, Kurt Russell in it. Michael Ruzioni was the captain of this team, and he has been out and very vocal, smacking down the little brats that are representing the U.S. Olympics right now. So I love Michael Ruzioni. Thank you, Mike, for speaking up.
Okay. In 1999, the Senate can't convict Bill Clinton on 2 impeachment counts. Party at the White House later.
A party at the White House, man. And in 2008, the Hollywood writers' strike ends after 100 days. It was the longest one. Without writers, you really don't have Hollywood. What would all those ridiculous Hollywood celebrities have to say and pretend to if you don't have the words?
They can't say anything if their writers don't write it for them. Come on.
I don't know what to say. Oh,
where do I stand on things? Please write me an answer.
Just getting back to Ruzioni again coming out. It's been so just seeing these people and coming out. And the other side of it is, and I've said this too, I know we're almost out of time in this part, but give these kids some media training for goodness sakes. They don't have to answer the questions that are posed to them. These moron reporters. It's like, just go there and say, I'm representing my country. I love it. And I want to win. And that's all you have to say.
Yeah. You know, there used to be a day and time when sports and even the Olympics was about national pride and competition and enjoying sports and enjoying what's happening. And now you can almost tell by the TV ratings. People aren't tuning in anymore because they don't want politics in their sports.
And they're kind of rooting against their own, which I don't do that. But I mean, you're kind of disgusted. It's like the one girl who's American. She's skiing for China. What is that?
Yeah.
And I don't know, just these uninformed people. I mean, they focus on this one thing. I don't need your commentary on world politics. Thanks. You're a skier. Ski.
Yeah. Do what you do best. And you
do what you do best.
Yeah. Bring home the gold. Come on.
Yeah. That's all we want to hear. All right. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Come on back on the other side.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Cozy's New York Deli.
Okay, so I saw this morning, a little closer to home, hat tip to the Polk County Scanner Facebook account. West Salem High students reportedly planning a Friday walkout to protest ICE. Where do we start on this? This is,
I sit here.
That's my response.
Yeah, I sit here and go, because I've been watching. I have a lot of roots in the Seattle area. And we talked, I think, last week a little bit about there was a walkout at, I think it was one of the downtown Seattle schools, maybe Rainier High School or something, where
Rainier
a couple
High
of students
School.
Got murdered during their walkout. There's video out of Issaquah High School, which is about 30 minutes east of Seattle. When I was living there, it was a small town, and now it's a major metropolitan area where the students were out and some women came across them and a physical altercation where multiple students attacked one mother occurred.
And no police helped her.
These are stories that are, you know, Washington right now is kind of the poster child for these.
Yeah.
But these kind of events are happening. People just wandering down the middle of the street as cars are zipping past. A girl got hit during one of these protests by a car, and her mother's actually going after the school for allowing them to do this. So I pose the question, because I'm reading through these comments, and there's a whole lot of people out there in support of this.
We'll read some.
I sit here and I go, so as a parent, who do you hold accountable if your kid is involved in a fight when this occurs or gets hit by a car or anything else bad happens while your student should be in their school during school hours learning, but yet you are allowing them to walk out to wherever they want to go to protest?
Now, you know where this high school is, and you know the roads up in West Salem. Not a lot of sidewalks, a lot of blind corners, a lot of hills, a lot of areas. You think that's safe to be wandering around and having kids out there who, number one, this is a skip day.
Yeah.
So first of all, if they're going to do this, this should be an unexcused absence.
Yeah.
And I do remember, you've got parents that, I support this. This is a First Amendment right. You know, do it on your own time. Of course you have a right to do this. Do it on your own time. We're paying teachers. Again, teachers are paid by taxpayer dollars. They're out there, you know, leading these walkouts, turning these kids into little brain dead activists that go out there. And if you ask any of them, why are you out here? And they'll, a lot of them who are honest will say, I don't need to be in class. There are very, very, very few that are true believers in this, but they are training them upright.
Well, and that's the thing is for the few that actually are actively wanting to do something like this, 75% of these kids are just, they're going to walk out. They're going to go home. They're going to go hang out with their kids. They might smoke a little marijuana or drink a little alcohol because guess what? When I skipped school in my day, those are the kinds of things that we would go do. So I'm sitting here going, so you're going to just let kids walk off of campus, you know, either one, either led by teachers or two, non-supervised by teachers. Those are your two options. And I'm just saying, where there used to be some like law enforcement where truancy was actually punishable.
It used to be that if you skipped school, you had a little bit of fear that you, maybe your school resource officer, which we don't have anymore in Salem-Keizer Public Schools. What's really disturbing to me is seeing the number of adults on this thread here, totally cheering for this. Again, my First Amendment right. Rights is one side of the equation. The other side of that is responsibility. That part never comes up. Ever.
Yeah, there is no
responsibility. They're screaming, like Don Lemon thinking that it was his right to go into a church. Nope, buddy, no. And these people, that these teachers have the right to pull somebody else's kid out and to get them to go march. And you can tell, you know there's peer pressure to do this, that the kids who don't want to do this are going to face a lot more trouble. They're the ones, if they stand up to it, they're the ones that are stunning and brave. Those are terms that actually apply to kids who buck this crap.
Yep. Well, I sit here and I'm reading. As a student of the 60s and 70s, I say good for them.
God.
I also participated in peaceful protests and still do. Yeah, you're the one on the walker that's holding up the sign that you don't know what it means. But okay. I'm reading through these comments. It's even more frustrating, these people that are in support of this behavior. And let's be honest, I think I saw a video the other day of Scott Wiener was at elementary school walkout and said it was organized by the children. I'm going, elementary schools
wise children,
don't
wise
organize
children.
Walkouts. They like being in school. They don't organize walkouts. So Lo, don't try and BS a BSer in this one.
And we're not, they're talking about teaching. The civics is to go there to get educated so that you can become, you know, a productive member of society and take responsibility. We are destroying everything that strengthens in the foundations of society. We've already gone after the dads. Now we're going, we've destroyed the moms. Clearly the awfuls are out of their minds. The kids have been on the target list for a long time. Everything that makes a society strong and fostering for the benefit of all is being utterly destroyed and crapped on by these people. And that's, again, and I'm looking at this thread and I'm scrolling through. The vast majority are supporting this stuff. That's just disturbing.
Well, look at when you look at the names, you can kind of guess that a lot of them are baby boomer offals who literally walked off their college campus in the 70s or, you know, went to Woodstock or, you know, I'm just sitting here going, today's society is a little bit different than it was back then. And even then, high schoolers weren't walking out of school. Elementary kids weren't walking out of school to protest things that they knew nothing about.
Well, and I love this. The whole point of a protest is to speak your mind. To who? And to what end? What is you walking out of class, watching and marching along with a bunch of kids who don't know why they're there? What is the goal of that? It's not to raise awareness. We're aware. Can we stop raising awareness now, please? We're all aware. Ugh. So what is the point? No, the point is exactly what they want to teach these kids. Go out there, scream and yell. You have a right to do that. Be disruptive. You don't have any responsibility in any of this. But when we tell you to go out there and do something, you are going to be trained to, without question, go out there and do what we tell you to do. Stunning and brave.
It sounds like some activist teachers in administration creating the next generation of social justice warriors is what it really looks like to me.
Yep, of course.
And if I sat here and heard my kids saying anything like that, I said, you walk out of that school, I'm going to come pick you up, and you probably won't be going back to that school.
And that's that dad who his son did call him. Because, again, let's come down on the other side. Everyone, things like this and threads like this make it seem like everybody supports this, and most kids support this. Sadly, a lot of kids have been pulled out of these schools. They are being homeschooled. They have values that kind of fly in the face on this. You know, go out. You have a right to your opinion. You have a right to do all of this, but also that responsibility side that we want to talk about. But if you are a kid or a group of kids that don't want to do this and you have to sort of opt out, I mean, again, the peer pressure angle of things, and then you've got teachers and administration shaming you for not caring. This, again, this is COVID 2.0. This is the same plot. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, don't you care?
Yeah, they're going right. They're going to the next generation.
Yep. Because, this makes this. Ugh.
Yeah, no, this is extremely frustrating. I would encourage parents that do not want your child participating in this to show up at West Salem. Be waiting for the kids to walk out. Pull your kid aside, put him in the car, drive away. I mean, I wouldn't be against a massive class action lawsuit against the school district saying you are allowing students to walk off of campus during school hours, not holding them responsible for it. Things could happen. Luckily, they didn't. Fingers crossed. But mm-hmm. I'm sitting here going, maybe that's the only way they will get it. They're already in a massive budget shortfall. Kids are falling through the cracks left and right. Their graduation rates, they're wonderful, but that's because we've removed every standard where all a kid has to do is show up once every 10 days to remain enrolled until they graduate. Let's stop with the bull crap and let's move forward and actually educate these kids so the kids of Oregon, and Salem in particular, can actually stand a chance on the worldwide stage when they hit adulthood.
Amen. There's one comment on here that I do want to read that kind of echoes that or does speak to that. They are children, young adults. They are not political pawns and should not be treated as such. They're supposed to be in school. And the school has liability for their safety. If they leave the school grounds to protest, who's responsible for their safety, actions, and consequences? Mm-hmm. They truly want to be heard. Here's the key. Do it on your own time or do it on a weekend. And this person is saying, don't take away from their learning as they already are suffering and their overall testing standings reflect it. Mm-hmm. Thank you. But this individual, I think it's a woman, is in the minority, and there's laugh emojis on it as well. So she's clearly in the minority on this. So there's a lot of people in Salem that think this is just a-okay. And that's a little disconcerting, but not surprising.
Yeah. Well, what I see, just the names in the comments, it's baby boomers that are trying to relive their glory days. And it is woke parents that view their kids as pawns in their political games rather than actual children that they should love and nurture. So,
yeah, this is really sad to see and disappointing. But again, like that dad up in, I want to say Auburn, or I'm not sure, mm-hmm. who posted that initial video. And then his son is getting harassed and taunted and teased and made fun of at school. So I don't know whether that the son is still there, but he actually went and spoke before a school board meeting. And so already people were interested. So that's gone viral. He did drop an F-bomb. Don't drop F-bombs when you're speaking to the school board.
Mm-hmm. Well, unless you're reading from their own books, you can always do
right,
that.
Right, exactly.
You know.
But I understand. It's very emotional. And I was watching the faces of the people behind him, the sneering, the mockery. It's really pretty gross. Well, and that kind of stuff, though, if adults are getting that, kids are getting that tenfold when they're standing up and saying, no, I'm not doing this.
Well, and I sit here and go, and we know in our school district that the bullying, the cyberbullying, a lot of it goes unattended and it's just allowed to kind of continue with pretty much a, oh, well, things happen mentality from the administration and from, you know, security and whatever else. And I sit here and go, and imagine now you're going against the grain of what the administration wants. So you're a lot more likely to get it and not have any repercussions for anyone that gives it. And I'm going, and you wonder why kids are choosing homeschooling, switching out of this school district, charter schools, everything else because of this kind of behavior.
Yeah, and one of the individuals that you talk about, just before we take our break, feels like yesterday. I did this regarding the Vietnam War when I was in high school. Best thing I ever did. Got me interested in what was happening with the world and also made me, and here's the key, a lifelong supporter of social justice in our country.
Well, I just sit here.
There you go.
If that's the highlight of your life, I'm sorry, and no wonder you are miserable.
Well, yeah. Anyway, that's West Salem. Hey, mm-hmm. If you have something to say about that, share your opinion. Stand up for your rights.
That's right. Well, like I said, if you are a parent out at West Salem High School, I 100% support you showing up there to, remove your child from the situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. All right. We're going to take our last break on this Thursday. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty. Real quick, want to mention we are halfway through the month of February. It is our fifth annual food and clothing drive. GA at Home is our presenting sponsor. Mm-hmm. I know that.
Advantage Heating and Air Conditioning.
Yeah.
Elite Buyers, Chira's, and Highway Trailer Sales are all also involved. So swing by any of those locations or check out kykn.com for more information.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Okay. Study. Headline. Why are liberal women so blue? Why, Hunter? Why are they so upset? I know former liberal woman here. I was angry all the time. Everything made me mad. Everything was worthy of a fight and going out there and screaming and yelling and getting in people's faces and hating them all and not standing them. And then it was like, no, that's not a way to live.
I think we figured it out with that set of comments just moments ago where talking about peaking in high school. To me, that I would be pretty miserable, too, if I feel like at 50, 60, 70 years old that I feel like I peaked in high school.
That's pretty sad. Well, this is a Daily Caller article, and there's some stats to back it up. This is a story out there. This guy, Ron Hart, is a libertarian. He's a humorist, award-winning author, and a frequent guest on TV, which gives him some legitimacy.
Right. He's on TV.
He's on TV. In studies, liberal women report the lowest levels of happiness and a satisfied life compared to conservative and moderate women, according to the study entitled American Family Survey. Only 12% of women aged 18 to 40 who identify as liberal politically say that they are completely satisfied with their lives, compared this to 37% of conservative women. The same disparities were found in feelings of loneliness, mental health issues. Liberal women are the least happy and most lonely group in surveys. Now, all kidding aside, I have a lot of friends and family members that fit this mold. They're not happy people. Mm-hmm. They're very, very angry. There's a lot of mental illness. There's a lot of loneliness. There's a lot of feeling untethered. And like I have to have something that I need to focus my energies on. And a lot of times, whether it's animals or it's a cause, there's a lot of them. I have pity. I do, because it's a miserable way to live.
Like you said, depression, loneliness, all of these play into that feeling, that mentality of the need for something. And unfortunately, in today's society, in our media representation, it's very easy to pick these social justice things with minimal knowledge, being able to say, I'm going to champion that. And I just sit here and go, I look out and you see walking down the street or on a street corner, these protests, and there's a group of them together. Why are you so mad and so lonely? You've got friends right there. Oh, because you're all mad and lonely together.
And it's a low investment. You don't really have to do much. You don't even have to make your own signs anymore, because the left and the AstroTurf will give one to you. You need to go. And a lot of times, we hear the chants. We hear the same chants. A lot of it is very manufactured. I think there may be a feeling of community and everybody chanting and saying the same things and beating drums. I mean, it's a bit hypnotizing and mesmerizing to do that. You feel like you are doing something, which you're really not, because there's no one, you don't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. There's no real emotional, because you can just turn it off and go home and go have your wine or do your yoga or whatever. You don't have to invest anything. There's no real risk.
Well, I look out and you see these groups, and there's the older generation, which, reliving their glory days. I understand the loneliness. You sit at a certain point in life where your friends are passing away and this and that. You have the young activists, which are everything is emotion driven, and then you have that middle group, which is a lot of times childless women who need to place their love somewhere.
It's really very, very sad, because the narrative affected me too as a younger woman. I bought into the certain narrative that you can have it all, that you can literally bring home the bacon and all that crap, that stupid Anjali ad, but that you can have a job, that you can do, that you can have kids and you can be happy, and that no one's going to suffer if your kids are being raised by somebody else because you're working in a cubicle. And I recently saw a video on X or Instagram about this young woman who was really upset. She's like, I bought the lie. I'm miserable. I just want to be home with my kids. I want to go to the PTA meetings. I want to take them to the park. I want to do the dishes. And that myth that was sold to so many women, myself included, my generation included, I'm, again, Jen Jones, early Gen X, we all bought into it and tried to do it and have it all, and it's a lie. And so when you see these women on the other side of it, the baby boomers that are now at the tail end of their life, who never were in a committed relationship, never really got married, never had a family, never established and set that up, of course they're lonely. Of course they're scared. Of course they're miserable. Being at a cubicle in a job isn't going to sustain you in your 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm. I had an aunt. A great aunt, I suppose. Also, my parents' aunt, who literally lived her whole life doing nothing but working and never married, never had kids of her own. She saved a pretty penny at the time she passed away, but she spent the last few years of her life sitting in a apartment by herself, chain smoking.
Oh God!
And I just, it's a sad existence, and. You know, I remember a few times visiting her when my oldest kids were little, and it's like you're only in her apartment for a few minutes because you come out smelling like an ashtray.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you've sort of got this sort of writ large on a whole generation of people out there that really, and you look at them and they're so earnest and they really do think they're changing the world. And to the point where you've got people that are literally coming out, I'm willing to die for people that don't give two craps about them. Mm-hmm. So again, in some respect, of course, adults make choices in their lives, so they're responsible for those choices. But the culture and the societal shift has something to do with that. And so when we see stuff like what's happening at the high school level and you've got a new generation being roped into this garbage, that does not bode well for society as a whole. And they're lying to these kids, and it just ticks me off.
All right. We're going to change it up a little bit. We got about 2 minutes left here, and I have to focus on this because through all of the,
Bad
Bunny
this.
Controversy and everything else, the ads of the Super Bowl kind of slipped through the cracks. And I haven't seen a whole lot about them. There are a couple entertaining and a couple of snooze fests. There's one that's getting a little bit of a headline now. And it's the Ring cameras, because they presented an ad saying, when you lose your dog or your neighbor loses your dog, you know, if you have Ring cameras, you can join your neighborhood and we can help locate your dog through AI technology. And people are kind of waking up realizing that's a little creepy, because they're saying that all these Ring cameras all around can control them all and use recognition at any time they want.
But is that surprising? Didn't we all kind of figure that anyway?
Eventually. That's why I like having a self-contained camera system around my house, because that was the thing that worries me when you look into Ring. Being able to literally sit here and say, oh, there's a dog in front of that house 6 blocks away. Let's get a good look at it. I'm going, that's a little creepy. And people are canceling their Ring subscriptions right now.
Which is actually encouraging, because a lot of people buy into a chip in my hand so I don't have to use a credit card. How convenient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's how they sell it. Oh, we'll find your dog.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Seeing a couple of breakdowns of, they presented it as finding your dog, but this is now 24/7, cyber monitoring of everything going on around your house, knowing when your deliveries come, knowing when your kids get home, knowing when you get home.
Did you get permission to travel outside of your 15-minute city? No, your license plate then will be snapped by somebody else's Ring camera.
Uh-oh, yeah. Oh, I just kind of go, where are the ramifications this?
It's like the credit card thing. Run out the scenarios, with the cap on credit cards. Oh, that sounds nice on paper at first blush. Run out the scenario, and all of a sudden you realize, hell no.
I want to help my neighbor find their dog. I want to be helpful. Yeah, at what expense?
All right, everybody, that's it for us. Have a great, if you celebrate Valentine's Day, have a wonderful one. We'll see you next week.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.